Let me pray. Heavenly Father, guide us by the power of your Holy Spirit through the book of Ecclesiastes, this particular chapter, and see your justice in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, where are we up to in Ecclesiastes? It's the end of a series, and Ecclesiastes has been Solomon's big project. The verse says, "All this I saw," says Solomon. He's the only man with the resources, the time, the power, the wisdom, the inclination to explore, experience and observe life, to find its meaning and purpose. Does life have meaning? Asks King Solomon. And the result, the answer? Hebel. Hebel. That's the meaning of life. It's an enigmatic Jewish word. Hebel, it's a kind of a shake of the shoulders. It's not a life is fantastic. It's not a life is horrible. It's a life is frustrating. It's a sort of a, what is really reality? And it's a frustrating shake of the shoulders. Hebel. And that's what Solomon finds out. And today we're looking at injustice. And Solomon discovers that, well, when it comes to injustice and justice, that too is hebel. And I want to look today at injustice now. What do we do about injustice now? But then, is there any justice in the future? What do we do about injustice now? And will there be any justice in the future? I think to get us in the mindset, I want to talk a little bit to set the scene, to really understand this frustration about justice, or the lack of it, and the question of will there be any. I want to just briefly bring up the Afghan war. I think it's a good example because it's a real Hebel war. It's an ancient war. I mean, really, from the time of Alexander the Great, there have been people fighting in that region from all nationalities. The Chinese, the British, the Russians, and now the Australians and the Americans. It's an old, long, complicated war. It's a bitter war. The Taliban versus the secular West. It's a harsh war. The weather, the geography, the drug trade, the corruption. It's a sad war. The orphans, the minorities, the persecuted Christians. And not only is it all those things, all those frustrating, unfair, unjust things, it's our war, Australian soldiers fighting over there and dying over there. And it's all those things, and it's also intractable. In fact, there's been fighting there for a decade, but there's been fighting for years, and next year there'll be more fighting, and the year after that there'll be more fighting. There's no fairness in the war in Afghanistan. There is no justice there. Who can untangle that? It's Hebel. A Hebel war. And turn now to what Solomon says. Because it's almost as though Solomon is observing the war. I know the book of Ecclesiastes is written a long time ago, but it's almost as though Solomon is observing that war. Start over the page of chapter 5 there of Ecclesiastes, verse 8 and 9. Solomon sees the poor, verse 8, the poor oppressed, justice and rights denied. "Do not be surprised," he says, "for one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them are other officials, and then over them all is the king," says Solomon. It's in Afghanistan, generals looking after their own reputation, soldiers fighting for their country, farmers growing their crops, insurgents fighting for their cause, the Afghan government looking after its own thing, minorities looking for their rights, warlords defending their territory. Do not be surprised at such things. For one official is I by a higher one, and over them is another, and the poor oppressed and justice denied. It's this curse of injustice. It was the same back then, it's the same now, and next year it'll be the same. Injustice, says Solomon, is inevitable. Under the sun, we can't escape the powerless being trampled. It's difficult, but not impossible to fix. Because look now, chapter 8, verse 2, over the page. It's almost as though someone has seen the injustice and then goes to the king. Look at what happens there in verse 2 that begins about the story of somebody going to the king. In verse 3, the king will do what he pleases. Now it's difficult. There's this injustice. I've been talking about this war in Afghanistan, and it's difficult and frustrating. What do we do about it? You can take it to the king. But will the king care? Who will go to the Americans and say, stop fighting? Who will go to the Taliban and say, stop fighting? Who will tell the corrupt officials to stop being corrupt? Look at verse 4. Who can say to them, what are you doing? Now, Solomon isn't saying, accept the injustice. He isn't saying the injustice is good. He isn't saying accept it. He's saying it's frustrating. It's hevel. And then look at verse 6. Why is it this frustrating? Why is it this way? And what can we do about it? Verse 6. Look at verse 6. For there is a proper time and a procedure for every matter, though a man's misery weighs heavily upon him. And what do we do? This misery, it weighs heavily upon us. What do we do? Give up? Donate some money? Think positive thoughts? Whistle a tune? Watch a documentary? Get upset? Accept it? Deny it? The poor oppressed? Justice denied? God tells us what to do. Look at verse 3. It's difficult, but look at verse 3. Do not stand up for a bad cause. Go to the king. There is a proper time and a proper procedure. God wants you to fight. It's tricky, it's difficult, but God wants you to do something under the sun today about injustice. But notice that God has a role to play. Look at verse 2, an oath before God. God's put the king there. And this means we need to involve God in what we do. This means as a church, we need to think carefully and prayerfully about the direction that God wants us to fight injustice. Because we can't fight injustice by ourselves. That'll just be hevel. We need to involve God. If we don't involve God, it'll just be one official over another official and the powerless getting trampled. And that's why as a church we sponsor child and we make a special effort to with the cheer catalogue every year, because under God, because God's involved, we can fight the injustice. We can do things because God is involved. It's terrible. But because verse 2, God is there, involved. And suddenly, because God is involved, that gives us reason, that gives us a justification to help fight injustice today. But there's still a difficulty, isn't there? Fighting injustice today. Will there be any justice in the future? Solomon wonders this. Will there be any justice in the future? Because look at verse 10, to go down the page a little, look at verse 10, then I saw the wicked buried, and those who used to come and go from the holy place received praise in the city when they did this. This too is Hebel. It's as though Solomon sees this warlord, maybe Solomon's watching a warlord, and the warlord does horrible things and oppresses the people, and then walks off to the temple and is in the temple, and he's like, oh, he's in the temple, that's a good warlord. That's unfair. That's Hebel. The hypocrisy going unpunished. Those officials, one above the other official, and then the king above all of that, being praised. Because look at verse 14, it gets worse. Look at verse 14. There is something else, Hebel, that occurs on the earth, under the sun. Righteous men who get what the wicked deserve, and wicked men who get what the righteous deserve. Think about the people in Afghanistan. Think about the small farmers, and think about the Christians in Afghanistan. Get suffering. And then think about the warlords benefiting their children, going to good schools, not getting illness, not getting sick. This is Hebel, says King Solomon. The righteous get what the wicked deserve, but the wicked get what the righteous deserve. It's unfair. But notice verse 13, verse 12 and 13. Look what Solomon says there. He says something very interesting. Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow. Although a wicked man commits 100 crimes and still lives a long time, I know that it will go better with God-fearing people who are reverent before God. Why does Solomon say that? He's just observed this injustice. Why does he say this? How will it go well? How will it go better? Look at that phrase. What an interesting phrase. How will it go better? Well, I think it's a clue. It's a wonderful clue. A wonderful and a little bit sobering clue to describing the afterlife. The go better is a hint of the future judgment. It's interesting, just grab your service sheet for a moment. This future judgment. And look at the Nicene Creed. There's this moment in the Nicene Creed where we talk about Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And there's a clue there. Even in Ecclesiastes, there's this clue, this go bettering. And this clue is filled out a little more. And follow me here. Turn over the page to the Matthew reading, the Gospel reading. And this is the future justice. Hear this future justice. Hear how Jesus describes it. Let's start at verse 27. What I tell you in the dark, says Jesus, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those that kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who destroys both body and soul in hell. God is saying there will be justice. The hypocrites will be laid bare one day. The oppression will be overturned, the violence subdued, the slanderers silenced. This is a powerful truth. I mean, think about the Afghan war in all of its complexity. And I just gave you the briefest of sketches. Think about all that unfairness. Think about so many stories that are going untold, so much injustice, and we're just thinking about the Afghan war. I mean, think about the injustice and the unfairness in our own lives, but just for a moment, the Afghan war, and God is aware, and God will bring to justice all of that injustice. So while now it's Hebel, God is there watching and observing and bringing to justice And that's comforting. But it's also a little bit sobering, isn't it? Because what about our own injustice? What about us? A day of judgment? Look at the Romans readers. There on page 3, look at the Romans reading. What about us? What happens to the justice in us? Look at verse 25. God presented him, that's Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement. And through faith in his blood, he did this to demonstrate his justice. Because in his forbearance, God in his forbearance let the hypocrites go to the temple. God in his forbearance allows the injustice for now to go unpunished. And he did this sacrifice of Jesus, to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. So that future day of judgment, we should have no fear, because the God of justice, through the sacrifice of Jesus, reconciles us to him. When I started with the Afghan war, a Hebel war, to illustrate this injustice in the world, and I want to leave you with the words from Matthew. Going back to that Matthew reading, we stopped halfway through the Matthew reading. I want to leave you with these words about how and why God cares for us. Verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of that day of judgment and justice. For you are worth more than many sparrows. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can do something about injustice now, but thank you that there will be a day of justice later. And thank you that we don't need to be afraid because of the death of Jesus. And in his name, amen. Amen.
Thanks so much.